Today on a special program, I'd like to talk with you about our common life of faith in challenging times with a message entitled Love in the Time of Coronavirus. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. In 1945, we began broadcasting every week as the Protestant Hour, and since 2002, as Day One. In 2020, we proudly celebrate 75 years of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. In a few moments, I'm going to share a sermon with you on Matthew 9 and 10. It's called Love in the Time of Coronavirus. But first, I'd like to bring you up to date with the Day One Ministry. As you can imagine, the COVID-19 pandemic has made an impact on our production plans, causing several of our scheduled preachers, understandably, to cancel their recording sessions and programs. Even so, we are committed to continuing to share meaningful messages of faith, hope, and love with you each week on the Day One program. As I record this in early April, we are still in the midst of encouragements, if not orders, to stay at home, shelter in place, and keep our social distance. I pray that by the time you hear this, the situation will be much better, but we'll continue to trust God no matter what. As you know, our weekly radio program is also available to you to listen anytime on your favorite podcast app. If you have a smartphone, open your podcast app and search for Day One Weekly Program. That's DAY numeral 1 Weekly Program, and it should pop right up for you to subscribe to. If you use Amazon's Alexa, you can say, Alexa, I want to listen to Day One Weekly Program Podcast. If you have Google Home, you can say, OK, Google, I want to listen to Day One Weekly Program Podcast. And the latest episode will play. Our website at dayone.org has a massive amount of trustworthy content for your spiritual life and growth in audio, video, and text. Visit dayone.org anytime and start digging into the various sections you'll find there. It's easy to use whether you're on a desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or cell phone. And while you're there, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to our weekly e-newsletter so we can keep in touch with you. As Sherry Miller mentioned, in 2020 we are celebrating our 75th anniversary. This radio program started as the Protestant Hour on Easter Day, April 1, 1945. Presbyterian pastor E.T. Thompson preached on immortality to anxious families waiting for word from their loved ones in the armed forces as the crucial Allied spring offensive began in Italy. He preached to shut-ins whose diminished worlds were enlarged by his words. Listening to were soldiers waiting in bus stations and travelers with hissy Motorola AM radios in their automobiles. In America, 82 out of 100 people were radio listeners, and families gathered regularly around the home vacuum tube radio. And on Easter morning in 1945, some of them heard the first Protestant Hour sermon. Every week since then, we have been on the air faithfully sharing the good news, when times were good and when times were fearful or confusing. In 2002, our program name changed to Day One. But whatever you call us, we're still committed to bringing you inspiring messages of faith that you can put to work in your own lives each week. This fall, we're very excited to offer a new book with excerpts from Protestant Hour and Day One sermons on 12 vital topics of life and faith. It's called Bread Enough for All, A Day One Guide to Life, and it's being published by our friends at Church Publishing Incorporated. More than 80 of our most popular preachers from the past several decades will be included. It will be ideal not only for your own reading, but for use by your small groups and Sunday school classes with discussion questions provided, for gift giving, and much more. We're working hard on this book even now, and I hope you will enjoy it. We'll let you know when it's available. We're also working on a new weekly podcast that will help you, your family, and loved ones spend a meaningful half hour each week in worship with hymns, songs, anthems, scripture reading, prayer, and a sermon by a Day One preacher. It's designed for those times like these when you can't get out of your house to go to church on a Sunday or anytime through the week while you're driving, working out, or just resting. We'll keep you posted about that too. Friends, it's been my honor and joy to be part of this media ministry for more than 19 years now. I believe very deeply in what we do, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ through the radio, by podcast, and online, with a diverse group of wonderful preachers from the historic Protestant denominations. We love hearing from you about how the Day One Ministry has been meaningful in your own life. Would you please let us hear from you? You can email us at info@dayone.org. That's info@day1.org. Or send a letter to Day One at 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. And especially in these difficult times, please remember that the Day One Ministry exists only because people like you support it with their financial contributions. We need your help at this crucial time, so I hope you will prayerfully consider sending us a donation. You can mail your gift to Day One at 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or give securely online by clicking on the donate link at dayone.org. We are always deeply grateful for your support. Now I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge our amazing Day One staff members who work tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure our program is on the air and online each week, and who even in this challenging time haven't slackened the pace a bit. Donald Jones is our director of production, who records and edits our weekly radio program, our podcasts, and any other media we produce. Donald has been working on this program for more than 30 years, originally slicing and taping audio tape to put together Protestant Hour programs. He is the reason our programs sound so fresh and professional each week. Amy Clark Davis is our chief financial officer and director of operations. She makes sure our finances are carefully accounted for and expended wisely. She also oversees our faithgoods.com website, where you can find an array of clothing and accessories displaying messages of faith and hope, as well as books and other resources, all of which supports the Day One Ministry. Amy also handles design projects and helps out in many other ways. She's amazing. Ethel Ware Carter is our part-time administrative assistant, who handles donor thank you letters, press releases, office needs, and much more. Ethel Ware is also program director for the Regional Council of Churches of Atlanta. She is incredibly gifted and energetic and full of great ideas. We're also grateful for the work of Mary Lynn Darden, who transcribes all our sermons for our website and printed transcripts. And of course, our wonderful announcer, Sherry Miller, who has welcomed you to Day One each week for nearly 30 years. We are so blessed by all of these incredibly gifted team members who go beyond the call of duty to serve you through this ministry. I'm so grateful for them. I'm also grateful for our engaged and supportive Board of Trustees, led by our Chair, Dr. Jennifer Friday, and for our Day One Advisory Board members, led by Dr. Tom Long, as they recommend most of the preachers you hear on Day One. For a list of their names, click on the About link at dayone.org. Please keep all of us who bring you Day One in your prayers as we pray for you. We are truly grateful for you. You are why we do what we do. We pray to God to give you faith and courage, health and hope in abundance, now and always. Remember, God is good all the time. God truly is our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapters 9 and 10. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been the answer to your own prayers? In the gospel lesson I just read, Jesus has been traveling about teaching, proclaiming the good news, and curing every disease. When he sees the crowds, he has compassion for them because they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This all sounds very relevant for our times, doesn't it? Jesus tells his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, there are plenty of people in need out there, but it seems too few of us are willing or able to get to work and help. So, Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray for people to go into their neighborhoods, into their communities, into the world, to love and serve the Lord. Yes, even in this time of coronavirus carriers, he says, pray for gospel carriers. But then in the next breath, Jesus calls his disciples to him, gives them holy authority, and says, go. Go. And by obeying this command to go, the disciples become the answer to their own prayer for laborers in the harvest. Have you ever been the answer to your own prayers? We all face plenty of opportunities to be just that. I love Eugene Peterson's version of Matthew 10, verses 6 to 8 in the Message. As he puts it, Jesus says, go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Of course, Jesus makes the idea of telling others about him sound so simple. Meanwhile, in the church today, we have had all sorts of responses and reactions to the concept of evangelism. Many of us recoil in fear from the very idea. Others have created mammoth, highly organized multimedia campaigns, and somehow the clear, clean, simple message of God's love gets lost in the hoopla. But Jesus does make it sound so simple. And you know what? Maybe it is. Jesus instructs his disciples to start with their fellow Israelites, that is, to go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Know anyone in your neighborhood? Then go. Go and tell. Go and serve. You don't have to make a big deal about it. Telling others about God in your life is just something you can do while you go about your life. Just do what you normally do, but pay attention. Be open to the opportunities to say a hopeful word, to perform a kind act, to offer a listening ear, to share the love and presence of God with someone else. Pay attention to the Spirit's inner prompting about who around you may need a word of encouragement or a helping hand. Be clear and simple about God's presence with them. Meet any needs you can and be open to receiving others' hospitality in return. And don't be hurt or angry with anyone who doesn't want to listen to you. Just move on and leave them in peace. A friend of mine was able to do this in a unique way on a mission trip to South America a few years ago. The mission team decided to put these very verses Jesus gave his disciples into practice and see what happened. To enter a town and seek those who might be open to their helping hand and encouraging word. They stayed in simple homes and ate whatever was given them. They asked everyone they met a very simple question: how can I pray for you? That question always seemed to open the door to a conversation and for God's Spirit to enter in. These encounters revolutionized my friend's faith and life. Though the culture he found himself in was different, the needs of the people in this other land were pretty much the same as those back home. Needs for love and acceptance and hope and faith. needs that dwell at the core of each of us in the human family. When my friend returned home, he determined to continue to treat the people he encountered at work, in his neighborhood, and at his church in the same way he had treated these people in South America, simply by asking those he came in contact with, "How can I pray for you?" My friend got what Jesus was saying here. "Oh, but preacher, you're probably saying by now, we've been living in a different time, a strange and challenging world. We've been in this frightening situation where we've been encouraged, even ordered, to stay at home, self-isolate, keep our social distance. And even if this gets better soon, who knows what might happen next week or next year? In this crisis, you're probably thinking the thought of running into some stranger we don't know, saying a word of good news to them, of lending them a helping hand, even at 6 feet away or more, we just can't do that now." Well, you make an excellent point. So what can we do in times like these? Here are some thoughts. First, be sure your own spiritual needs are being met. It's like flight attendants instruct us when we're on an airplane, put your own oxygen mask on first before helping others. Your spiritual life is holy oxygen for your soul. How do you do that? Well, start by reading the Bible for yourself, if you don't already, using a daily devotional or other spiritual resources, if you like, as a guide. Many of these guides are available online. If you can't get to church, a growing number of churches are streaming their worship and prayer services, even Sunday school classes and Bible studies, on Facebook and YouTube and elsewhere online. And you can visit our website at dayone.org and find all sorts of meaningful resources to help you strengthen your faith and give you hope. So make sure your own spiritual needs are being met in times like this, and stay strong. Second, pray. Pray early and often. Pray for yourself, for your family, friends, fellow church members, for clergy and church leaders, for people in your community, your state, your country, for political leaders at every level. Pray for good news for each one. And if you don't have a prayer list you use each day, now is a good time to start one. Third, be creative in how you can reach out to others, particularly in times when you can't help in person. If you're on social media like Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, why not post that question, "How can I pray for you?" And then pray for each request that comes. Share with others what Jesus means to you, especially in dark and worrisome times. Tell a story of hope and faith that has happened in your life. Share the good news and serve others in the name of Jesus in whatever way you can. As I record this, we've witnessed plenty of examples of people doing just that. For instance, many people have been making medical supplies like face masks, following appropriate guidelines right in their homes, and sharing them where needed. In the condo community where I live in Atlanta, one resident announced on our online community page that they were going to the supermarket, and could they pick up anything for anyone, particularly the older residents. Another resident set out some books for anyone to pick up for free, and another baked a bunch of banana bread loaves, safely and cleanly, and left them for anyone to take. In my city, people gathered safely and at proper social distance to pack and deliver some 35,000 Meals on Wheels one week to high-risk elderly folks. In one neighborhood, when a 7-year-old had to cancel his birthday party, neighbors posted signs and balloons in their front yards and in their windows to wish him a happy birthday, and even left him a surprise gift outside his garage. The boy was reported to be shocked but pleased and smiled all day. Most nights at 8 o'clock, driven by social media posts, droves of Midtown Atlanta high-rise residents stepped out onto their balconies to applaud and cheer all the medical caregivers, first responders, grocery store workers, and other neighbors who are working to keep us all fed and safe. It's incredibly moving to hear. People have created Facebook groups and other online means to check in on others in their circles. Churches are bringing back phone prayer chains to make sure those who may be ill or in need are checked on and served and certainly prayed for. Ideas for going out into your community, even virtually, to offer an encouraging word of hope or a way to help, well, they're truly endless. So give it some prayerful, thoughtful consideration. And if you need help, it's always okay to ask for it from neighbors, churches, family, and friends. Jesus calls us to love in the time of coronavirus as he does at any time. So what else might you be able to do to help? How might God use your talents, gifts, and skills in times like these? Pray for creativity and opportunity. Friends, Jesus beckons us to follow his lead in our own circle of life, whether in our actual neighborhood or beyond. He says, "You received without payment, so give without payment." In other words, you have been treated generously, so live generously. Be generous with your love, whether that's in person or virtually. The world needs God's love so badly right now. As you go about your life in challenging times, even if you're stuck at home, live generously in word and deed. Share lavishly, but safely, the peace and love of the God who has grabbed hold of your soul. Revel in that peace and love yourself, and then reach out and share it, and help bring the kingdom of heaven a little closer to this needy world. What's holding us back? God will help us take that first step. Let's ask Jesus to be with us, to help us to live generously and to love lavishly as God has loved us. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you have called us to go in peace to love and serve you no matter where we are, no matter what life circumstances may be. When we find ourselves in difficult times, please fill us with your peace and hope and give us the wisdom, strength, and creativity we need to share that peace and hope and love with anyone we can, in any way we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to a special sermon entitled Love in the Time of Coronavirus by yours truly, Peter Wallace. For a free printed transcript of the sermon, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Remember, Day 1 depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Please consider supporting our ministry with a generous donation. We appreciate it. Again, our address is Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Next week on Day 1, we're pleased to present a program featuring the Reverend Robin Wilson, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Opelika, Alabama. You won't want to miss her life-giving message, Rise Up. That's next time on Day 1.
Celebrating 75 years of ministry, Day One is the voice of America's historic Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.